Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, the younger you are right now, the tougher it is to find work. The unemployment rate is 13% for those 20 to 24, 8.2% for 25 to 34-year-olds. So millennials are often now finding themselves moving right back home after college. To talk about their prospects and what it means for the country, I'm joined by Michael Hayes, the co-author of two highly acclaimed books, Millennial Momentum and Millennial Makeover. Mike, thanks for joining us here on 1320 WILS.
Thank you, Michael. Glad to be here.
Well, let's begin with the first question, which is, what exactly is a millennial, and are they dangerous?
Well, I think far from being dangerous, my co-author, Morley Winograd, and I believe that they may be the hope for America rather than being a danger. They may be the generation that will actually enable us to get beyond the partisan divides that have really separated the country for the past 40 or so years. We define a millennial as a young person born between the years of 1982 and 2003. Millennials are of a type of generation that generational theorists refer to as a civic generation. That means they tend to be very group-oriented rather than focused on their individual values or concerns. And as a result, they tend to often create the civic institutions that govern the country for many decades after they have assumed a leadership position in society.
The oldest millennial now then is, what, 30 years old?
That is correct.
Now, look, their prospects right now are pretty rough. They can't find jobs. They're moving back home. Do you agree that that's with what some people say, that they could very well not match and meet the financial status their parents were able to?
Well, that's a very good question, and obviously the future is going to determine that. They could slip behind what the conditions are in which they grew up, but I think we could look back to history to find another generation that, in fact, improved American life tremendously, and that was a generation like the millennials, another civic generation, the GI, our greatest generation, who were born from 1901 to 1924, grew up in the midst of the Depression, and then went off to win World War II. That generation actually faced unemployment rates that are were three times greater than the ones that that millennials are facing today.
But wasn't that generation facing a much more brutal reality?
Well, I think so. They not only had to deal with the an economic collapse, which, as I said, was even worse than the Great Recession of the of this decade. And many of them, even in greater numbers, moved home, never left home, but then in the years after World War II, completely rebuilt the country and really made the country that we live in today.
Well, look, what people say when they see these young kids, a lot of times, they appear to be a very coddled generation. In fact, a recent commencement speech got a lot of press coverage. The speaker told graduates, you really are not that special. And he pointed out all the different ways that they've been pampered and taken care of, their self-esteem very carefully boosted. How is that perception inaccurate, or is it inaccurate?
Well, they certainly were and are a protected generation as they grew up. But, you know, protection isn't always a terrible thing. It has created a generation that, for example, is a high-achieving generation. All of the, or at least most of the major negative social indicators, like underage pregnancy or teenage drinking and drug abuse, that sort of thing, teenage crime rates, are all down for this generation. They're at the lowest levels that they have been in decades, really, since the early the 1920s and 1930s, and they are high achieving in the sense of high school test scores and achievement. So they have done very well with the kind of upbringing that they received. they were told that they were special, and in many respects, they actually acted in a manner that would suggest they were.
I'm talking to Mike Hayes, the co-author of two highly acclaimed books, the latest one, Millennial Momentum. Although, Mike, the truth is there's American millennials, but millennials all over the world. And when you look at our education system and the fact that we've been slipping behind with our test scores far behind many other developed countries, it isn't part of the issue that maybe the millennials, these foreign millennials, are actually have a brighter future than our own American millennials?
Well, I think there's a couple of issues involved. First of all, it may not be that that the generations of young people in other nations are actually millennials or of a generational type like millennials. But putting that aside, one of the reasons that I think millennials are suffering economic difficulties, not simply because they're finding it difficult to obtain jobs, but because many of them are meeting crushing student loan debt. And we are living in a time when educational expenditures are being cut to lower levels than many of us were able to experience in decades past. So one of the reasons that I think our scores may be down in this country is not simply because of the weakness of the generation, but because of a society that isn't necessarily willing to commit to its young people as the American society did in the past.
Well, but they're going to pay the price, obviously. They're paying the price.
Yes, Michael, not only are they paying the price, but it may well be that the nation in the future is going to pay the price if we don't turn some of these things around, not only in areas like education, but obviously infrastructure development and things of that nature.
Now, this millennial generation, their viewpoints on social issues, political issues, are they any more liberal maybe than some of the previous young generations? And are they likely to slowly turn to becoming more conservative as they age, like pretty much every other generation has?
Well, again, a couple of questions that you've asked there and a couple of statements you've made. They do tend to be a relatively liberal generation, no matter how one defines that term. They tend to favor governmental solutions to societal problems. The Pew Research Center, for example, asked a question of its samples, national samples. Do people favor big government with larger programs or smaller government with fewer programs? And millennials, a majority of them tend to favor bigger government with greater numbers of programs, whereas older generations take the opposite point of view. They also tend to be a generation that is very socially liberal. For example, large numbers majorities favor a gay marriage, immigration reform, and things of this nature. So it's not surprising that in 2008 they voted about 2-1 for Barack Obama, and at least the polling that has been conducted to this point suggests they're about at the same level and likely to be at the same level this coming November.
Do you have any thoughts that these viewpoints they have may shift as they age?
Now, that's your second question. And generally, social science research suggests that once people's attitudes, identifications, and beliefs are formed in their formative years, and that would be the age the millennials are, roughly 18 to 25, 18 to 28, those attitudes stay in place for the rest of their lives. I think it's important to note, for example, that not all generations are liberal when they're young. Generation X, for example, that came of age during the Reagan Revolution, voted solidly for that conservative president, and that particular cohort has remained one of the more Republican and conservative cohorts as it has aged. Mm-hmm. So some generations, for a variety of reasons, tend to be born developed as liberals, and they remain that way. Others are conservative, and they remain that way.
One last thing. Now, these young folks, they've grown up with technology. They're plugged in constantly. We know attention deficit disorder, or whatever you want to call it, is now rampant. Many kids grew up medicated, in fact, for these disorders. What do you make of all this technology, the medication, all these outside factors that potentially could shape this generation, is shaping the generation? Do you view it as a harmful development?
Well, certainly I think the technology is something that at which millennials are very adept. But again, remember, every generation, every 40 years or so, American communication technology really changes significantly. The GI generation grew up in an era of radio, and people questioned whether that was going to be a good thing. Certainly those of us who grew up in the television era back in the 50s and 60s, the great wasteland that television was referred to, at that time, that was seen as a dangerous factor, and mm-hmm. as well, social networking that the millennials favor is seen by some as a dangerous factor. But it is also something that can be used and to organize for good and for positive values. So I think the future is going to tell how the technology is used. Technology is neutral. It really depends on how it is used.
I see. One last thing. The generation itself, is there something they view themselves as the greatest challenge that they'll be facing? Do they have any sense of what's ahead for them?
Well, certainly, I think right now it's the economy, jobs, things of that nature. They are very concerned with social and economic inequality at this point. And so I think they are concerned with the kind of America that they are going to grow up in, and whether which direction the country is going to be going.
In the direction then they'll be taking the country in, which I guess would be in what, 10, 20, 30 years or so.
Right.
Are you predicting then that ultimately that they'll lead us into a more liberal place?
Well, there's a good chance they will lead us into a more liberal direction. There is every opportunity for that to happen. But also, these civic generations have led America into what we refer to in our second book, Millennial Momentum, as a new civic ethos in which America decides on the kind of governing and economic and societal system it is going to have, and comes to agreement on those things. And even though there will certainly be party differences, they will not be as virulent as they are right now, and there will be broader agreement mm-hmm. on ways to do things. That certainly happened after the Depression, when both Republicans and Democrats agreed that we had to have government deal with certain issues, and both parties supported the New Deal alignment after that.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. Mike Hayes, the co-author of the two highly acclaimed books, Millennial Momentum, Millennial Makeover. Mike, thanks for joining us on WILS.